Let's turn to Colossians 3:1 this morning. Colossians 3:1, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And today I want to focus on that second verse that says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And back in verse 1, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. If we're raised with Christ, we've talked about that. You know, we talked about it on Easter, of course, but we've been saying how we were raised with Christ. When he rose from the dead, we rose with him. He paid the penalty for all our sin. We are right with him. We've been talking about being ambassadors for him. We have a mission on this earth. And he says, if you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. The things that are above. The things that are eternal. The things that will always be. Most of what we deal with day to day, or the natural, if we're naturally minded or it's just so easy to get sucked in, we deal with natural things. We deal with, you know, our flesh. We deal with, this Bible in itself is a material thing. This keyboard, the seats, whatever. You know, we go and we sit in a desk and look at a computer screen. It's all physical. And it's so easy to get drawn in and think that it's all physical. And, you know, you turn on the news or you go to a website or, you know, whatever, and it's all physical. All the news is about physical things. It's about things that we deal with in the natural. And so you hear opinions based on the assumption that everything's physical, that everything's natural. You know, that there's not necessarily anything else to life. What you see is what you get. Right now. And so opinions are formed based on that. Opinions are, you know, we hear opinions just thrown at us all the time. Well, this is going to happen, or this is going to happen, or because of this, that means this, or the economy's this way, or, you know, this country's doing this. It's all natural. It's all with the assumption that that's all there is. And to most people, that's all there is, but that's not all there is. And we know that the higher reality is the spiritual realm. That Jesus Christ existed before any of this existed. He created all this, and he is the King, and that we have to consciously make the decision to remove ourselves and our consciousness from just the natural and focus on the things that will exist for all eternity. And it's an effort, because there is constantly a vacuum that's trying to suck us back into the natural. It's like one person said, it's like you're going, trying to walk in a river upstream. You know, a river, there's a mighty force going this way. That's like it is in the world. You know, somebody said they were talking to, somebody came and asked a question. It was like, you know, I feel like as a Christian, it's just like, you know, it doesn't quit. It's always like there's something, you know, trying to pull me back this other way. Well, it's true. It's the world system. It's the world's way of doing things. It's against natural things aren't necessarily against the things of God, but it'll take your mind off. And there are a lot of things that are against the things of God. And so it's like we are walking, trying to go up against this river, and it's constantly pushing us back. And if we don't consciously walk against it, it'll just carry us back. We'll just go with the flow. We'll just go with what everybody else, and pretty soon you can turn and just start walking with everybody else before you know it. And it's so easy, and it's so easy for every one of us to do that. I don't care who you are, and I don't care how long you've been walking with God. You will still contend with the world system. You'll contend with your flesh. Your flesh, we all know it. Your body, if you don't tell it what to do, it'll tell you what to do. Pretty soon, and you give it an inch, it'll take a mile. You're going against it pretty soon. Ah, well, I'll just do this, and I'll just do that, and, oh, you know, we'll take this day off, and pretty soon, you know, it's just running like this. We all know that. You know, you have to keep your body where you want it. The same thing, we have to keep our minds where we want them. We have to keep them centered on God. And it's not, it's a deception to think, well, when I get to a certain level, then I won't have to do that anymore. If I get to a certain place, you know, you pick the person that you respect most that maybe has gone before us, walked with God to any certain degree, and you say, well, I bet you they didn't have to deal with stuff. They got to such a degree, they just walked with God. And you know what? None of this stuff affected them. That's not true. Now, I'll tell you what, that's not true. They have to deal with the same things. I know personally, firsthand or secondhand, from somebody that walked with somebody that, you know, that was a very respected man of God. He got off the platform one time and he said, he looked at him and to somebody and he said, "Did that make any sense, what I was saying?" You would think after somebody, this is a person that had been preaching all his life, very respected, you would think that the person, boy, they reach a certain, they know they speak for God, they know everything, you know, just they walk at a different level. But no, they have to deal with thoughts just like we do. They have to deal with the natural flesh saying, you know, devil coming and saying, "That didn't make a bit of sense. You know, you don't know where you're going," and whatever. All of us deal with different things. We have to consciously look to God and set our minds on things above. Every one of us, we have to do it. He says to set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Because one day it'll pass away. I mean, one day these things will be burned up. It just doesn't seem like it because it's there every day you wake up, your alarm clock goes off or whatever, it's there. It's the same. And that's what people have said. They, well, you know, it's just going to always go on this way. There's no afterlife. That's all made up. That's just all, yeah, you know, when's Jesus going to come back? You've been saying that for how many years? You know, you Christian, what are you talking about? When is he going to, you know, you just look at that every year. Every year, generation's the same. It's going to happen. It's going to surprise a lot of people. A lot of people are going to be real surprised when it happens and that trumpet sounds and boom. You know, it's going to happen though. But if you turn on the news, you're not going to hear about that. Except maybe a lot in the negative. Nobody's trumpeting the fact that things are like that are going to happen. We have to believe the Word of God and what it says in here and consciously set our minds on things above. And it's a process and it's something that we have to do every day. Let's turn back to Hebrews 12. We ended on this last week, but I want to go there again for, you know, I think it, you know, fits well with what we're talking about. Hebrews 12, 1. That's why we come with, that's why it's good to get in the company of believers. You know, it was in Proverbs. I don't know the verse, but it says, you know, the man who isolates himself rages against all sound judgment. You know, and as a Christian, if we isolate ourselves, well, it's a deception. People say, "I don't need to go to church. I don't know, I can get that on TV or whatever." No, we get together and we remind ourselves of who we are and what the Word says, and we get nourished by the Word, and there's something different. And it's a reminder. You're rubbing shoulders with people that are different from what they see every day in the world system. That's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to get charged up so we can go out and bear it again, you know, for the week or days or whatever. It's just something God's put in place. We have our personal relationship with God, but then there's, you know, something else. And we don't negate either one. We just want all God has. And then we remind ourselves and stir ourselves up so that we can run a race. So he says in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I mean, it lists these people over in chapter 11. You know, by faith, all these things happen. If you go back, and go back to verse 8, chapter 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he received as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Abraham wasn't Abraham at that point. He wasn't the person that was going to be written about. He was just a man that believed God. And he set himself on things. He didn't know what was, you know, he didn't know where everything was going to end up. He just believed God. And it goes on, you know, verse 11, "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and bore a child when she was past age." This is an old lady. But she didn't set her mind on the things that were just natural. She looked to God on the things which she couldn't see. And it goes on and on, all these people. Moses, you know, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph. All these people that did things by faith and throughout the ages. And then verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." These people are in heaven already. They've run their race. They know that there's a hereafter. We know it too by faith, but they know it experientially. They're there in the presence of Almighty God. They've run their race. They're looking down, and we don't know how all that stuff works, if they can see us, if they just know things spiritual, whatever. But they are witnesses. They're a great cloud of witnesses. And it says we're in their presence. Like somebody said, it's like they're in the grandstands. And we're the ones that have the center stage right now. They can't run their race anymore. It's done. And once we run a race, if Jesus hasn't come back, it's done. We don't get to say, oh, now I know what was going on. Now let me get back in the game. Now I'm going to do it better. This is our one chance. And we do it by faith. And we do it by faith and by what it says in this word. And we take it and we choose to believe what's in here more than what our eyes see, more than what our senses tell us, more than what other people may say. If it doesn't line up with this word of God, we choose to take it as God's word. Because probably none of us have actually seen God face to face or maybe had a visitation from Jesus. Maybe you have. I haven't. I have to take what the word says and what people that have spoken things according to the word and take it by faith and get the plan that God, I believe, has for me by faith and then walk it out by faith. And choose every day to set the things, set my eyes on things above instead of things that are around me, things on the earth. Think this is all there is and then we die. And we go to, you know, even if you think, you know, some people just think that's all there is. We go back to dust and that's it. There's no God. That's all games. That's all a fairy tale, you know, blah, blah, blah. You read any kind of website half the time. If it has anything to do with certain subjects, the comments are all a certain way and just talking about, you know, religion being a fairy tale and all this. I mean, it's just over and over. You see this. I don't even read the half, you know, that stuff. But if you go down the comments, it's always the same stuff. Same people saying that's the pervasive mentality, you know. Throughout a lot of places on the earth is that Christians are just believing a bunch of fairy tales. And, well, you know, this is just a book like any other book, stories, and it just goes over and over, and all the religions are the same, and they're just copies, and they're all the same stories, and people have passed down to their kids, and it's all just a bunch of garbage. That's a mentality a lot of people have. But you know what? This is the true story. This is the original story. That's why there's a bunch of copies, because there is a true story. And we have to choose to believe that. But we don't have the benefit of being in the grandstands right now. We're on the track. We're in the game. We have to choose to look at the playbook and go by the playbook, whether the things that are going on look like it lines up or not. You know, there was a story, I don't know, I'm not a super big football fan or anything, and don't know, you know, tons about it, but, you know, there was when Nebraska won the national championship in 94, Tom Osborne was the coach. And they were, I believe it's Florida State they played against, and Nebraska hadn't and won for a long time, and they had almost made it. They were facing this really tough Florida State team. But they had a game plan, and there was this after-the-game DVD. After the things, all, you know, after they had won the national championship and won everything, they were showing the game, and it was showing interviews, and it showed some video from the halftime. And he said, and Tom was going to say, this is what's going to happen. They had done their research. They knew what the other team was like, and they said, we're going to wear them out. We keep going out. By the fourth quarter, they're going to start wearing down, and we're going to break through. And then they would show what actually happened, and it's exactly what happened. See, they had a game plan, and he was telling them, don't let what you see fool you. We know where we're going. We are going here. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, and this is how we're going to win. And it happened almost to a T. They came by, and they ended up winning. You know, pulling it out because our team wore out. They were better conditioned, and they had more going on. Well, a man can make a mistake. He could have been wrong. The game plan might not have worked, but God's game plan works. And he's telling us, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you see in your life. You take your eyes. Don't look at what's on earth. You look at me. You look at what the Bible says. You don't look at the game plan. There are people that have walked before you that have looked at me all throughout the ages. And no matter what it looks like, you look at me and set your eyes on the things above and walk run your race like that. And you'll make it. And this is what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to walk in victory. You're going to accomplish all that I have for you because I'm with you. I'm for you. I've given you my spirit. I've given you my word. And it will happen this way. Now, our job is just to follow him because he does not make a mistake. He's not a coach that could fail. He's not a coach whose game plan would fail. He knows what he's talking about. The enemy will do everything he can to try to make us think it's not working, though. It's not working. Our game plan isn't going to work. I've looked at it. I've studied it. I think I know what's going on, but it's not working. It doesn't look like it's working. It doesn't look like it's what God told me the way it should be. This is not the way it's going to be. That's when we say, I'm not going to look at the things on earth. I'm looking at the things above, and by God, I'm going after you. That I'm going to walk according to what your word says. I'm going to walk according to your plans, and I'm going after you. I don't care what it looks like. And we consciously set our minds on things above, because that, even in spite of that river, it's pushing hard. We say, no, I'm walking. I'm going on. I'm not going to turn around and give up, even though that's what I want to do, even though the temptation is just to say, oh, the heck with it. You know, it's not, things aren't working or things aren't going the way and just go with the river. We just say, no, God, I'm going on with you. I'm walking forward with you. And praise God, you are with me. And it's a conscious decision that every one of us has to make. But just know that there's a cloud of witnesses that knows what you're going through no matter what. I'm not saying we're all going through something, but I'm just saying it's life. As a Christian, there's an enemy, and he's trying to make us think that we're going to lose. I don't, you know, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying that we're going through a crisis or that, you know, everything's bad or that everything's great or that we're some, you know, super huge person on the earth. It doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what you're going on. The devil does not rest, and he will take you. The world system, the enemy, and all your flesh will all try to work to get you off and to get you off of God's plan. Doesn't matter if everything's going great right now. Doesn't matter if everything's going bad. It doesn't matter. The things are always set against. And if we don't keep going on with God and looking to him, we'll get caught up in the current and be dragged down. And so to think like, you know, we can reach the point where we think, well, I mean, if we are going through something or if we were going to a tough time, I mean, we've all been there where we say, what, you know, this is happening now. I mean, what's going on? Almost like, we can get like an entitlement thing. Like, well, I'm a Christian. Why does this happen? I mean, there's this happen. What's going on? That's when it's time to just set our mind back and say, you know what? God has made promises to me. I'm his child. And nobody said it was going to be easy. I mean, look at Apostle Paul. Blew us away. Anything that he went through probably just trumps anything that we think, you know, could. If he looked at us, we were in his presence, we'd probably shut our mouths if we were tempted to complain. I'm not going to mention anything right now. I'd probably look like a fool. I'll just keep my mouth shut. That's probably the wisest thing to do because I can't think of anything that's going on in my life that would be relevant to say right now. Boy, hallelujah, everything is going great. You know, I mean, that's way, but it's not so easy sometimes when we're by ourselves. It's real easy. Nobody's around. It's real easy just to let loose and say, hey, what? You know, why aren't things going better? I'm serving God. I'm doing the blah, blah, blah. That's the devil. It is. And you know what? I found this and I heard somebody say it once. I said, well, that's pretty true. There is a gateway to the devil knocking you around by complaining and getting negative. If you start going that way, it's like you're opening the door to start going with the current because you're just taking your, you see, by definition, for you to complain, you have to take your eyes off God. There's no way you can be focusing on God Almighty and how good you have it with what God really says. You know, think of it. Jesus was in your presence, walking around with you because the Holy Spirit is with us. But I mean, the reality, if you were focused on reality, there is no way you could complain. You have to take your eyes off to complain. So by you take your eyes off God and focus on your circumstances, you are doing what God has told you not to do. And so, and I'm not saying it's always easy not to do. I'm saying this is what we do. We take our eyes off God. We look at our circumstances, and we can just start with a little murmur. What, again? What's going on here? And pretty soon, you just start going that way, and you are focusing on the negative. The devil will feed you thoughts like, you know, like a machine gun, try to get your mouth going to where now you're downstream. You say, how did that happen? Man, I just said this one thing and pretty soon it was all this and pretty soon I'm looking at all this and I got myself angry or depressed or whatever and things aren't looking good. And you can get to where, you know, a day before you thought everything was great and now you just are looking at your life going, man, what? Oh, that you can start complaining. It's so easy. It's all your perspective. But then that's when we have to jerk ourselves back and say, no, but God, and start thanking Him. And then we start looking at Him and all the things He's done and all the things we have, regardless of what's going on. And then we get back to where we should be. Then we're strong. Then we're ready to run our race. Then we're ready to, you know, run a race with endurance and have strength, and we keep going on. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." That's pretty clear. We are in a race. We're in a war. Let's not, somehow, you know, it's like we're lined up in this race. And we look around and it's like we act like we're not in a race. You know, we're in this race and we're running along and we got all these competitors around us. And we're like, well, hey, you mean I got to strain? You mean I got to run? I mean, what is this? Hey, you're in a race. You know, no, I'm in this competition. And what? You mean I'm tired. I don't want to keep running. You're in a race. Don't run. He says, don't run. Do y'all know that those who run in a race, they you know, one receives the prize, run in such a way that you may obtain it. I haven't run too many races, you know, in my life, but I know some people have. And, I've played sports, though. And if you play not to lose, you're going to lose. Or you're just not going to go away. You got to play to win. I know, you know, I've been enough. You try to maintain and try to not actually play to win. It's like, man, you just start making stupid mistakes. You start doing stupid things because you're trying not to lose instead of trying to win. We have to run and play to win. It means we got to put away certain things, and God will do that. I mean, we have to do it, but God will show you what you need to do. If we try to get in the flesh and change ourselves, all I've seen is that you mess yourself up more than you help. If you get somebody else's idea on what you should change, you know, I don't know how many times I've done this. You read a book or you read something, you know, you hear some sermon or you watch some TV show and you say, that's what I need. Now, if it's God telling you that's what you need, by all means, you go forward with that, or if it's some little bit of answer. But see, that's where I think it's tempting to miss it, seeing this works for that person. So I know that God's been dealing with you to change something. But then you say, and that's the way to do it. And you get in there, okay, tomorrow's going to be different. I'm going to do it. And if it's not God prompting you to do it or God showing you how to inch it, but it's more like, I've had it with this, I'm going to do it. And 2 to 3 days later, 3 weeks, whatever it takes, you're flat on your back going, I'm here again. It didn't work. I just got myself more messed up. I just tried it again because you're doing it in the flesh. You're trying to do, see, God knows what we need to change. He knows how, He knows the best plan to get us to where we want to be. Because He knows the race we're running. He knows where the stops are. He knows what you need. So He'll show you how to get it done. He knows the roots of the things we're facing. And He knows where we're going with it. So we can take somebody else's plan or take somebody else's thing or even our own concoction thinking, this is what I need to do. And we can try to start implementing it. And it doesn't work, and we wonder why. It works for this person. Well, you're in, number one, an individual race. God knows where you're going. You have a past that nobody else has, and God knows how to get that changed in us. So if we'll look to Him, He'll say, no, strip that off. This is what you need to strip off here. Focus there. Yeah, I know you got 3 or 4 other things here. Get rid of that one. You know, and a mile down the road to say, okay, now drop that. The 2-3 miles down the road to say, okay, now get that. And pretty soon you're running free. You're running like you want to be running. But if you try to drop them all at the same time, pretty soon you got those and more. Because we're trying to do it in ourselves. God knows what we need. And so when we look at these things, you know, it's tempting to just try to do it in the flesh. And it backfires. It's by faith that we run. And so he says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. They do it for a perishable crown. See, there's the same thing. People do go to great lengths all the time in this world for things that won't matter at all 100 years from now. Some of them do. I mean, some people have changed the world, and still are affecting our lives. But if it's not eternal, it's not God's plan. I mean, God, each of us in here is eternal. People are eternal. It is so easy to get our eyes focused on the things that aren't, like technology. None of this stuff is bad that I'm listing. But like technology, sports, money, cars, clothes, any of these things, it's so easy to get caught up with certain things. And none of those things are bad in themselves. But if we let them take the place and don't put them in context that I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm running after God. Therefore, I'm living in the world. Therefore, I take part in all these aspects of life, but they don't drive me. They don't make me who I am. Those things are not going to be here 100 years from now. My child will. My spouse will. My neighbor will. And the things that are the best in life are the things that are eternal. And our relationships and all those things. And if we keep them, if we keep it all in context, if we keep it all focused, then we can enjoy all the things around us. We can enjoy clothes, cars, sports, hobbies, whatever. Because we know, look, this is part of life. Vacations, whatever. We have it in context because we know the one that created us. We know where life comes from. We're not driving our life over here for something that's not eternal. We're driving our life here and all these things are around. So we enjoy them in their proper place. Then they're really enjoyable. And so, but there are people that will lay down everything for a perishable crown. I'm not knocking anybody that, you know, that does that. You know, there's all types of sporting events where people turn their life upside down to go after one thing, one contest, whatever. That's everybody's decision, and I'm not saying anything against that, but I'm saying people do it. People will go to great lengths for something that really won't affect eternity, not that it's bad. So how much more can we go to great lengths to affect something eternally? It's not that we're knocking anything, you know, because I say, well, that's just carnal. Well, you know, everybody makes their own decisions in life. And so there's nothing, any of those things, like I said, they're all neutral. It's keeping them in the proper context. The way we do that, we keep things in the proper context, you know, and then we'll be happy and fulfilled. And when we stand before Jesus, we'll realize I ran the race. I kept things in context. And look at him, you know, and we'll hear, well done, and good and faithful servant. But if people can do it for a perishable crown, we can do it for an imperishable crown. We can do it for things that matter. He says there in verse 26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not with one who beats the air. 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. I make myself do what I believe I should do. I make myself do what I believe God wants me to do. Whatever that is, like we've been talking about. We all have different things to do. But to do it effectively, it takes keeping our eyes on the prize, you know, to keep us focused. And then, you know, that's when life is exciting. Is when we're going after what God has told us to do. Let's turn to Philippians 3 and then we'll close there. Philippians 3, verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already attained, he hasn't died yet, he isn't with Jesus, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now telling you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Paul said, I haven't attained, but I press on towards the mark of the high calling, upward call of Jesus Christ. And he said, don't be like the people that set their mind on just earthly things. Let's be different. Let's look, because our citizenship is in heaven. We are going back home one day. And while we're here, like I said before, when we get home, we don't get to say, do over. I want to do it again. I understand the rules now. Oh, everything, I read in the Bible, it's actually true. Oh, those things that I put, this is what we don't want to do, those things that I put emphasis on, they were mirages. I understand that now. Let me go back. We're home. Now there's other people, and we're part of that cloud of witnesses. We have these words of admonition. And every day, we're each of us are challenged. Every day, we're challenged to start looking at earthly things. But we have to just refocus our gaze and say, no, one day, I'm going home. But right now, I'm here. And we don't have to live like a monk. We don't have to live weird or anything. It's just putting first things first, doing what God has told us to do, following after him, so that when we get home, I'm home. I ran my race. I'm sitting down. I'm taking a break. I'm home. I ran the race, and thank God I made the decisions that I knew I should make, and I put the things that God said to put first, and I looked at him, and I'm here. Thank God. And that's going to be a grand day. But while we're here, Satan isn't taking a break. Our flesh isn't going to take a break. The world system isn't going to miraculously change to heaven on earth. So each of us has a race to run, and we just want to run it the way God would have us run it. Amen.